First of all, knowledge isn't wrong. Knowledge is not a bad thing. Working in education, I have to learn because I have to teach. Knowledge of God is not bad. In fact, knowledge of God is extremely important. We need to have a knowledge of God's word. We need to have a knowledge of God's will. But as believers, it's more important, not the knowledge, but the person. We need to have a knowledge of God, a knowledge of Christ, but we need to have a relationship with him, and that is more important. For me, I really do enjoy learning. I enjoy learning science. I enjoy learning about nature. I enjoy learning about sport. I enjoy learning about the Bible, about God. I enjoy learning things, because with learning there comes challenge. And I think we all strive for a challenge. We enjoy a challenge. So if you're given something to read, to learn, you may enjoy that challenge. I do. But learning can become an idol. When you forget the purpose of learning, when you forget the purpose of knowledge, then you look to knowledge rather than the end result, which is an understanding of God's will. We are called to that understanding. We're called to that knowledge. And Paul doesn't just say, have a small amount of the knowledge. He says, be filled. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. And to be filled really means to be complete, to have a completeness about the knowledge of his will for your life. And Paul follows this thought through in chapter 2, Colossians, when he says, we are to be complete in him. We are to have a knowledge of his will, but we are to be complete in him, in Jesus. If you'd like to turn me, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. We are to be complete in the knowledge of his will. I was reading this morning, to me, a very disturbing news report about education, about schools. And in this report, it was talking about religious education lessons in school. And the report essentially said that a quarter of the schools in England are actually breaking the law at the moment. So they're breaking the law by not teaching religious education in schools. So when we talk about a knowledge of God and his will, what we need to understand as believers is that we're going to be dealing with people who have no knowledge of God. When we come to them, they will have no knowledge of who God is, no knowledge of who Jesus is, because they're not being taught. So if we have an understanding of who God is, then we need to be able to speak that understanding to people who've got no idea. To me, as someone who works in a school, to think that they're not taught about God hurts me a lot. I have conversations with students about Jesus all the time, and they don't know who he is. They've got no idea. We talk about taking the gospel to the outermost parts of the world, but why are we not taking it to the schools in our own country? Why are we not bringing Jesus to schools? Why are we not bringing light to those young people who are so affected by culture that in their minds they have no need for a God? Proverbs 4, verse 1 says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. So knowledge itself will lead you nowhere without understanding. Knowledge itself will lead you nowhere without understanding. Some people, I'm sure, in your mind, you can probably picture the person, you know, have so much information in their mind that whenever any topic comes up in conversation, they can just spout something out to you. A lot of it's useless information, but there's always something to say. There's a member of staff that I work with, And he has a story for every occasion. He has a fact for every different discussion. And yet, what's really interesting is that we call it useless information because that's all it is. It's just information. It's just knowledge. There's no understanding behind it. They're just relaying something they've heard to you. They're just passing on that information. You know, I personally am really bad at fixing things. Okay, just moved into a new house and I'm terrible. I can't put things together very well. I can't fix things. And I was really proud of myself this week because I taken apart the washing machine with Andrew Kelp. He helped me move it. But I took the washing machine out. I disconnected it. I never thought I could do that. And it's probably very simple to some of you. But to me, that was really difficult. I disconnected the washing machine. And this is how I did it. I went online. I Googled, how do you disconnect the washing machine? If I had just read the information, then I would never have been able to actually put that into practice. If I had just taken that in and got some knowledge about washing machines and how they connect to the water pipes, I would never have been able to disconnect it. So I watched the video, which gave me an understanding because I saw someone else doing it for me. So the knowledge has to come with understanding, otherwise it's never going to lead to an application. So when we learn something, we then have to go along and try and understand it so then we can do it. So I could only take apart the washing machine and not break anything because I'd watched the video, which helped me to understand what was going on. But the understanding that we receive as we pursue God and His knowledge gives us a choice. If we have the knowledge of God and we have an understanding of God, we have to choose whether we're going to obey His will or walk away from His will. So the understanding that we receive leads to that choice, but wisdom itself, wisdom is the application of knowledge, the application of understanding to our lives. And in the book of James, chapter 1, it says this in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We are to get wisdom, we are to get understanding, because knowledge itself, by itself, is meaningless, is worth nothing. Wisdom is the principal thing. But where does wisdom come from? It comes from God, which leads us back to prayer. We need to be able to pray rightly before we can walk worthy. We need to be able to come before God and say, I am lacking in this, will you fill me? Wisdom needs to be given from God to us, otherwise we can never apply what we know. What we understand. We must ask God and it will be given. And a heavenly wisdom will help us to walk worthy of the calling that God has put in our lives. Through the first section of Paul's prayer, this verse, we see the importance of our spiritual intelligence. And this spiritual intelligence does not come through just dry study of the Word of God. It comes through a personal relationship with the God of the universe, who wants to be in a relationship with you. This is not a religion. As James said already this morning, this is a relationship. I want to just encourage you, and it might be for one person in here, when they hear about intelligence, when they hear about learning, knowledge, they think back to their school days when they were told that they were nothing. They think back to those times when they struggled to learn anything because there's too much of a challenge. This is for all of us. It's not for the intellectual elite. It's not for the bookworms. It's not for those who, like myself, get time off during the week to study the Bible. It is for all of us. Paul approaches our mind first because that's where it starts. And it starts there for all of us. Our walking starts with our mindset. And we must all, not some of us, not the pastors, the deacons, the elders, we must all be filled with the knowledge of His will. All believers. I've heard every excuse for someone not doing their work in a lesson. Every excuse. I've heard every excuse for there not being homework. In fact, one girl said to me, Mr. Higgins, my dog has eaten my homework. And I said, that's a poor lie. That's a really bad lie, because that's what all people say. That's the joke. And then she's showing me her homework, and there's bite marks all over it. So her dog had actually eaten her homework. But we don't need to give excuses to God. We don't. He is a loving Father. So many of us so often get the Bible out and think, oh, where do I start? What do I do? And then we start reading and thinking, well, how am I going to understand this? What can I do? But he's given us a helper. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who's there to reveal to us, to help draw out truth. We are all called to, I believe, excellence as ambassadors for Christ. Excellence as ambassadors for Christ. Because we all have that ability within us, because we all have Christ, the hope of glory, who dwells within us. There are no excuses that we can make to God that he hasn't heard before. But we need to be excellent at studying God's word, hearing God's word, applying God's word, practically going out and living as an ambassador for Christ. And I think we all have something in our life that we truly want to excel at. For some of you, it might be your job. For some of you, it might be a hobby. It might be running. It might be going to the gym. There's something that we really put everything into to try and improve ourselves upon. We strive to do the best, to be the best. But so often we fail at moving that mindset and that attitude and that energy we pour into that worldly thing. We fail to translate that across to our relationship with God. And I want to challenge you this morning that that energy can be put into our relationship with God, and there'll be fruit from that relationship as you pour yourself into it. Imagine what we would look like if we put as much effort into our relationship with God as we did into X, Y, and Z. So for some of you, that may be your football, rugby, school, university. For me, my job, I do try and do my best. I want to be good at what I do. And yet, if we put all that we have into our relationship with God, then it will change the way we walk. Because having a knowledge of his will and learning his will must always lead to us living out his will in our life. Verse 10, as we talk about our body, says this. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Having the right knowledge, the right wisdom, and the right spiritual understanding will lead you into walking rightly. What Paul is saying is that having a right mindset will lead you into the reality of walking rightly with him. Having your mind set on Christ will lead you to walking rightly with Christ. And following that train of thought, as we walk with Christ, we should be bearing fruit for Christ in every good work. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, church, the work's already there. We simply need to walk in them. They've been prepared for us so that we would walk in them. If you'd like to turn me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The works are there for us. We need to walk in them faithfully. Reading from verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. The result of abiding in Christ and walking with him is fruit. We are promised by Jesus here fruitfulness. We are promised the pruning so that we may bear more fruit and better fruit. We are promised that there is a judgment to come for those who do not bear fruit. We are promised that God will answer our prayers. And listen, we are promised that God is glorified as we bear fruit. God is glorified as we bear fruit. The glory goes to him, it's not for us. As we walk in his steps, we will bear fruit. As we abide with him, we will bear fruit. God's will for our lives is to glorify him through the lives that we live for him. And our walk will lead into our work. Our walk will lead us into our work. If we walk rightly and worthy, then we will walk in our work, and we will bear fruit, and we will glorify him. Faith is required to walk. As we read this morning in Luke chapter 5, about the paralyzed man, about the friends who were so desperate to bring their friend to Jesus, that they came to the house that was crowded with multitudes. And they didn't just look at the house and think, okay, we'll come back. Bear with us. We'll come back when it's quiet. They found a solution to the problem that was before them because of their desperation to get to Jesus. They required the faith of the friends to get him up the stairs, to climb through and down the roof. It required the faith of the man to say, after Jesus forgave his sins, to step up and walk. Walking itself requires faith. After all, our purpose in life is not to please ourselves, but to please the Lord. We should walk worthy of our calling and worthy of the gospel, which means we will walk worthy of God. In short, we should walk to please God. That's from Warren Wiersbe. We should walk to please God. And as we walk, we learn, I believe, to know God more. As we walk with him, we begin to know his ways. We begin, as we walk with him, to have a desire growing within us to serve him. My experience of the Christian faith is that the more you know God, the more you want to be with God, and the more you want to serve God's people and go out and serve him. So what we know, we need to live out through our bodies. And as we walk through our works. And as we work, we bring glory to God through the fruit that we bear. And we will only truly be satisfied by walking in the will of God. And the thing is, as we walk, we will be strengthened. Verse 11 goes on to say, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Is it not true that God is constantly dealing with our hearts? Constantly. Constantly bringing us closer to him. Constantly bringing to light things that we don't want him to bring to light, to then deal with. But he's constantly dealing with our hearts. And what is amazing about this is that we as a body of Christ are not finished with. We are being sanctified. God is transforming us into the image of Christ, and our character becomes more like his as we walk with him. As I said, we just moved into a new house this week. And walking into the house, there's nothing there. Okay, there's a lot of dust on the floor, a few things out of place. And I was thinking about that this morning and praying through this picture of a house that was mine, and yet it wasn't fully furnished. It wasn't clean. There were still things that needed to be done. We've been bought at a price. We are, in some respects, that house, because when we are his, we are truly his. But at the same time, there are still so many things that need to be worked out within us. There are things that God needs to bring to the surface that we can, by his glorious power, come to be more like him. And it's not in our understanding that we change things, but it's in his. We must acknowledge God in all of our ways. And through moving house and the struggles and stresses that brings up, Paul has been, in this prayer, speaking on two things that I've learned a lot about this week. Patience and long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering. Because we need to, in this Christian walk patiently. We need to walk patiently because we may not get to where we think we should be. Patience itself is about our circumstances. And I think often we misunderstand what patience really is. Patience isn't just waiting. Patience is an active thing. It's about how we respond and react to the circumstances we are in. And I think, and this is a good phrase to get stuck in our minds, patience is endurance in action. When we are waiting patiently, we are enduring. We are waiting for something. There is something to wait for. Charles Spurgeon was writing about patience, and he talks about how the snail had to endure patiently to get onto the ark. The snail going to the ark had to endure patiently. He knew what was ahead, but he had to endure patiently because he could only work at a certain rate. I feel often with this idea of knowledge, understanding and wisdom, some of us go at different speeds. And that's fine. We all learn at different speeds. I have 4 classes this year, which I'm teaching the same topic to. And I'm teaching a very different lesson to each class because they learn in different ways, because they grow in different ways. And God is the same with us. He teaches us in different ways through His Word, by the Holy Spirit, because we learn at different speeds, and that is not a problem. But patience is a learned attitude and learned process as we walk in the Christian faith. And God takes us through busy and bustling storms that life throws at us to bring patience out of us, so patience may have its perfect work. Whereas long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. As we abide in Him, we bear much fruit. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And long-suffering is primarily to do with the way that we interact with people. In our Christian walk, are we treating people rightly? Are we loving one another? Are we loving those outside of the body of Christ? Are we showing Jesus by the way that we treat other people? Is it not true that so often we are very patient with our circumstances, but we take out all our wrath on the people that we love the most? So moving a house gets busy and hectic, and then I take it out on Becca because she's closest to me. That's not the way that we are called to live our Christian lives. We can be very patient in our circumstances, but we may be lacking with the gift of long-suffering and the gift of being able to bear with one another, to love one another, to edify one another, to exhort one another, to let love have its perfect work in our lives. And Jesus is our perfect example of someone who's both patient and long-suffering. He taught the disciples the same message so many different times, and yet he never got frustrated. Never got frustrated. I get frustrated when I teach someone something new and they don't get it straight away. I get frustrated when someone doesn't listen to me. I get frustrated when I don't get my own way. We have to bear with one another. We are to be an example of Jesus to one another, not just those outside of the body. But if we mistreat the body itself, then how would anyone else looking in decide that they want to join in the body of Christ? If we do not love one another, we will not see Jesus in one another. Paul does not want and did not want circumstances to affect the relationships we have both in the body of Christ, but also outside of the body of Christ. I think in Paul's prayer, we can see a pattern. We can see the pattern of the mind, that we need to know His will. We need to know Him. And as we begin to know Him, that translates into our body as we start to walk with Him. And as we start to walk with Him, we will do the works that He has prepared for us. And as we're walking with Him, what's most important is that He's still working on our character. He's still working on our heart, and we become more like Him. So from our mind to our body to our hearts, we need to know Him, we need to walk with Him, and we need to be more like Him. And as we do this, we will show the world Jesus. We will show the world the joy that there is in Him. Verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. We can only know Him, walk with Him, be more like him because of Jesus Christ. He is the reason why we're here. He's the reason why we sing and we praise and we give glory to a God who created us. And you know, we have been delivered. We've been delivered from the kingdom and the power of darkness, and we've been set free from that sin that so easily ensnares and entangles us. And we've been conveyed into, that word conveyed means to move or to translate from the king into the kingdom of God. In our lives, do we reflect that? Do we reflect that there's been a change, a shift from darkness to light? Or are we still walking in the sins of the past? And we have been redeemed by the blood. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away the stain of sin. Only the blood of Jesus can make us white as snow. You know, Paul could pray this prayer in prison only because of the love and sacrifice of Jesus. It's the one reason why we're here this morning. It's the reason why we can come before God and we can pray and we can say, God, I need your help to walk worthy. I need you in my life so that I can follow. Paul himself prays with such love and compassion because he has that knowledge of God's will. He understands and he knows the need of the body of Christ. Just like this morning, we need to have a fullness of the knowledge of his will. We need to walk worthy in the calling he has set before us so that we can be fruitful for him, so we can glorify him. It's by the grace of God that we are here, that we are in the same family, a family which only has one head, and that is Jesus Christ. In all things, Christ has the preeminence. He is above all. He is over all. And this idea of walking worthy is to know his will. It's to walk in his will. It's to work in his will. It's to grow and bear much fruit in his will. It is all for him, and it is all because of him. As we carry on through Colossians next week, we're going to start to talk about the preeminence of Christ. How God is above all things. That Jesus is, was, and always will be covering and above all. This morning, if you are struggling, if you are doubting, if you are walking waywardly on the narrow path, start with prayer. We need to pray rightly before we can walk worthy. And then we need to know his will so that we can walk in his will. And as we walk with him, it might be a step at a time, but it will still bear fruit. It's all for him. It's all because of him. So let's pursue Christ individually, corporately, with excellence. Let's pursue him with all that we have. Let's surrender our will and give ourselves to his will so that we might glorify our Father in heaven. So God, we just pray this morning that you, Lord, you would take priority in our lives. Father, we would recognize that we may have allowed other things in. We may be pursuing just knowledge of you, but never entering into a relationship with you. Father, I pray for that transition from our minds to our hearts, God, that we would allow our bodies to walk in your way. Lord, help us to pursue you with all that we have, so that this world might see Jesus through the church, that this world might see the light, the hope, the joy. Father, we need you in all that we do. And Father, we seek to glorify your name through the way we study and learn about you and the way we apply that to our lives. God, help us to walk with you. Amen.